AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, here on FYI Politics with Brett Johnson. So when it comes to the percentage of residents enrolled in health insurance, Minnesota is fifth best in the nation, which on the surface is a pretty good number. But when you dig in a little bit further, the numbers aren't quite so promising. Because within Minnesota, many people don't realize that there are many areas in the state with low rates of health coverage that rival the worst states in the nation. They're so-called healthcare deserts. So joining us to talk about some of these healthcare deserts and what we can do to give people access to affordable health insurance is Megan Kimmel from the nonprofit Portico HealthNet, which is a nonprofit focused on expanding access to health coverage, as she joins us now. Hey, Megan, how are you doing today?
Good morning. Thank you, Brett.
So before we start diving into things, can you define what exactly a healthcare desert is?
Sure. And I'll actually use the term health coverage desert, even more than healthcare desert, because many of these communities do have access to healthcare with excellent providers, but they're communities that have very, very low numbers of people who are insured, so high rates of uninsurance. So these are communities within our state where the number of people who have insurance and therefore have confidence in how they're going to pay for the health care that they need is very low.
Gotcha. So that makes some sense. And I think this is something that's often forgotten about when we talk about the whole healthcare and health insurance debate is that, yeah, there are a lot of people who don't have access to health insurance, which is very, very key to being able to get the healthcare that they actually need when they run into an emergency situation or even for routine procedures. If you don't have health insurance, obviously bills can pile up very, very quickly.
Absolutely. And what we see with many of the clients we work with is the fear of what those bills will be and what the financial implications of those bills will be prevents people from seeking primary and preventive care because they're afraid. And what happens often then is that medical conditions either become so large that in addition to being very unhealthy for the patient, it becomes very expensive to treat, or because they lack insurance, they seek care in the emergency room for conditions that are much better treated in a primary care setting, both because it's a better way to receive the care and build an ongoing relationship with a care provider, and also it's much less expensive for the entire healthcare ecosystem to have people treated in primary clinics rather than the emergency room.
So this map that was recently released, which shows some of these deserts that exist around Minnesota, it's really striking because, at least in terms of politics, it doesn't follow the typical red versus blue politics where, for instance, it's only red areas that are experiencing these deserts or only blue areas. It's really interesting if you look at this, as it's pretty much urban areas, which of course are typically very Democratic, and very rural areas, which are very Republican. Which is kind of interesting to look at when we have this debate about access to affordable health insurance. At least where people are struggling the most, it appears not to follow traditional political lines, which, I don't know, as I was observing this, Megan, that was really interesting to me, is that it appears this shouldn't be much of a partisan issue.
I agree completely, Brett. I think that access to health coverage and issues around the rates of uninsured are not party line specific at all. Again, with the clients we see people from all geographic areas, from all walks of life, from all employment industries who struggle with access to health insurance.
So then the question comes, how do you actually get action on this through either lawmakers or maybe even the private sector to try to improve the situation when you have kind of this odd coalition of, to me, what looks like people who live in urban core centers and then those that live in very rural areas? Those are kind of strange bedfellows when it comes to politics, but if you get those groups working together, perhaps we can improve the situation. So what do we need to do to try to bring this sort of coalition together so we can improve access to affordable health insurance?
Well, I think the first thing is to acknowledge that there is an issue. And that's why I so appreciate that we're having this conversation today. And I so appreciate the work that was done by the University of Minnesota through the State Health Access Data Assistance Center, which is a mouthful. SHADAC is what they go by. And this is the group that put together the map that you referenced, that put together a database that allows us as a community to look at, by zip code and by legislative district, what are the rates of uninsured, and also dig even deeper into who are the populations that remain uninsured. And that's really key for groups like Portico. And I'll come back to that. I think the first thing that needs to be done is we have to have a conversation about it. It's really easy as a state to say, as you mentioned, we're the fifth best in the country, and isn't this wonderful? And we've been leaders on this issue for a long time, and that is true. But it's too easy then to gloss over the fact that both based on geographic and also based on racial breakdown, that's not the full story. So I think the first thing that needs to happen is we need to have these kind of conversations. And I'd like to see these conversations happening among policymakers much more actively and in a way that really engages the communities that are most impacted by that. Things that I think need to be done to change this situation, one of the biggest is funding. The way that people learn about their options around health insurance, that they understand how to apply for it, that they understand what sort of financial help is available to them. That doesn't just magically happen. That happens because there are organizations throughout the state, most of them being nonprofit organizations, that are actively working in the communities in which they're located, actively connecting and educating people about what's available, and then walking them through the process. And I want to stress the process is not a simple one, and it's not a one-stop shop model for most people that are applying. It involves following up with verifications and following up with the county. So committing funds to that work is really important. Minnesota has been very supportive of the work of assisters, navigators, healthcare navigators, through having navigator grants. And at the time, these last couple of years, where the federal government has been cutting funding for navigators that work with the federal health insurance exchange, Minnesota has not done that. Minnesota has a state-based exchange that is MNsure and has remained committed to supplying funds, but it's not enough and it needs to grow. So I think that's the first thing. You had mentioned, others in the healthcare space, and I agree with that completely. Clinics, particularly federally qualified health centers, are very, very impacted by the populations that have high rates of uninsured. Health systems that have emergency rooms, particularly those located in some of these health coverage deserts, these folks are really impacted by high rates of uninsured. So finding ways that policymakers and healthcare providers and those that are on the front lines helping people get insured, and in many cases, consumers who are struggling to navigate the system, bringing people together to the same table to have conversations about this from their different perspectives feels like a very, very important next step. And that is why, again, going back to this data, I think is so valuable that we have this as a starting place, because it gives us something to begin looking at. I'd like to share with you a little about how Portico has used this data. I had mentioned that the data allows us to drill down, and it really allows us to look into, in, let's take a zip code in one of the, health coverage deserts, and see who are the folks that remain uninsured. What is their primary language? What are the employment sectors that they live in? What is their family income? So we can think about what health program, be it Medicaid or a qualified health plan that they buy on their own. All of those things impact how we message to them, how we connect with them, how we reach them. And I think that's a really important step for finding a solution.
Expanding on something you said a little while ago, talking about how, well, people oftentimes have trouble trying to navigate the system when it comes to accessing affordable health care and health insurance. The data from the University of Minnesota also indicated that 83% of Minnesotans without health insurance have incomes that actually make them eligible for financial assistance. So Is this a case, again, where people are just having trouble navigating the system and not taking advantage of some of these benefits that they might be eligible for? Talk about that a little bit.
I think it's a combination of things. What we see from clients is in many cases, people don't know that they're eligible for these benefits. We see that particularly people that fall within the income that range that would allow them to get tax credits for purchasing a plan through our state-based exchange, MNsure. Many people who believe that their income is too high to qualify for benefits, yet feel that they cannot afford health insurance. Health insurance can be expensive, particularly on the individual market. And that's why the tax credits are so valuable. And MNsure is the only way that you can get those tax credits. We talk to many clients who just don't realize that that's an option for them. So that's one part of it. We see a lot of people who just don't understand how to really navigate through the system. It's confusing. The application asks for questions about your income and often questions about what your projected income will be. Many people are not sure how to calculate that. They're not sure what the rules are. The household makeup of a applicant is a big factor in what people are eligible for. And so particularly families that may have a slightly non-traditional model of who lives together can really struggle to figure out how do they report their household size and link that to their tax status and link that to their household income. So those are factors that contribute. We also see a lot of people who are able to take the first step toward insurance by doing the application, but struggle to follow up on some of the subsequent things that have to happen. It's not unusual that an applicant is asked to provide additional verifications of income. And the process for supplying those, getting those to the right processing organization, such as their county, can be challenging for people, particularly people who have language barriers. Often the letters that they receive from, say, their county are written in a little bit of a legalese that can be challenging for someone who isn't somebody who is a native English speaker, but especially somebody who's not a native English speaker.
And I have to imagine the COVID-19 pandemic has certainly impacted things and, well, made the process a lot more difficult. I'm sure you agree with that, that COVID has certainly not helped things at all over the past year or so.
Not at all. And when we talk about this data that we see from SHADAC, it's important to note that this data predates the pandemic. So I'm especially worried about what we are going to see in the months and the years ahead as the pandemic implications become more clear. What we have seen among clients, particularly complicated around the issue of income, particularly with unemployment benefits, that changes how people report their income and changes how people determine what, or we help people determine what they're eligible for. And so that has been a challenge. In addition, we've seen a lot of people who, for the first time in their life, are finding themselves without employer-sponsored insurance. And the process of accessing insurance on your own, either through Medicaid or Minnesota Care, or through purchasing on the individual market through MNsure, is very different than the process that one goes through when they're selecting their health insurance through their employer-sponsored plan. So the learning curve for many of the clients that we're seeing who are have become uninsured through the pandemic, it's very steep, and it's a new process.
Yeah, absolutely. I can think of, people who might have just been getting their health insurance from their employer and all of a sudden they're laid off, don't have a job anymore. And yeah, you go to that individual market. I know firsthand that it can be very intimidating to go on there. That's where I originally purchased my health insurance a few years ago. And for the first time, that was very intimidating to try to navigate the entire system, realize what you're eligible for. So yeah, certainly having any ways that people can be helped in that aspect is a very positive thing.
Absolutely. And especially right now when this pandemic is causing tremendous stress for families and individuals. And when somebody is already experiencing the stress of a lost job, of children at school trying to distance learn, often the additional stress of trying to navigate an unfamiliar system is just too much. And it can be enough to make people step back and say, I'm just going to take my chances. And that's where a group like Portico or the many other navigator organizations that are throughout the state can become so valuable because we do know how to work through it. And so that allows other people to take a breath and say, okay, there's someone here to help me with this unfamiliar process.
Final question for you here, Megan. Where can people see this data and learn more about your organization as well?
Well, our organization is called Portico HealthNet. We're based in St. Paul, but we serve people throughout the state of Minnesota. Because of the pandemic, we're meeting exclusively over the phone with clients, which makes it really easy for people during this time. Our website is www.portico.healthnet, PORTICOHEALTHNET.org. That is where you can access our information. The data is available through the University of Minnesota's State Health Access Data Assistance Center, otherwise known as SHADAC, SHADAC. And the data is available on their website, which is actually just confirming what their, I'm sorry, I didn't have this up, but their website is SHADAC, SHADAC.org.
Oh, there you go. Coming through in the clutch and getting that website just
to my goodness. I'm so sorry.
That's all right. Putting you on the spot with that one. Hey, that's Megan Kimmel. She is from the nonprofit Portico HealthNet, which is a nonprofit focused on expanding access to health coverage. As we were talking about this recent survey that was put out by the University of Minnesota, that's talking about these health coverage deserts where people are having trouble, well, accessing affordable health insurance and affordable health care, talking through what some of the solutions are and, well, what lawmakers can do as well to try to improve access to affordable health care. Megan, really appreciate the time today. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for the opportunity, Brett. Take care.